Good morning.
So welcome. This is the Cavalry Year Zero. I'm Nick Prococo. This is Josh Corman. A little bit about myself real quick. In my day job, I'm Vice President of Strategic Services at Rapid7, but this is not about my day job. I am one of the co-founders of the Cavalry Movement, along with Josh. And my big motivation for being here and for working with Josh in this is I want to see a day, I want to live in the future and be able to enjoy life in the future utilizing technology and have my family, my friends, my father, my wife, my kids be able to experience technology and never have to worry about using a piece of technology or being required to use a piece of technology for their own health and be in fear that there's going to be a software flaw or a bug that's going to cause them harm.
And I'm Josh Corman. In my day job, I'm the CTO for Sonatype, but I too am not here representing them. I speak for myself as a citizen, as a father, and as someone who's deeply concerned about our dependence on technology. In our professions, right, whether you started this out of curiosity as a hobby, which became your profession, software and security issues now permeate every single aspect of your life, and that's increasingly the case. So if we know how bad a job we're doing as a security industry with $80 billion of spending trying to protect random pieces of plastic and magnetic stripes, I believe a higher standard of care and our best and brightest should be focused a little bit on things that affect public safety and human life. So we're really happy to see the change in the DEF CON community towards things of consequence.
So here's where we were last year. Anybody in the room, were you at the talk last year, 10 a.m. on Sunday? Oh, wow.
Great.
Great. And thanks for being here today. So last year we started out, you know, this was a conversation that we had with all of you in the room. We didn't know where this was going to be. We didn't know where we would be a year later. But we started out the conversation about body, mind, and soul were really the planks of the platform that we were looking towards. Public good, human safety, human life. On the body side, the mind was security research. And as a security research, I was very concerned about that piece. And then soul, which was civil liberties. And we're going to talk a little about where we've moved and where we settled on, but today we have some important announcements.
Yeah, so 1 year ago we asked you to suspend your cynicism, right? I think the soul of the hacker is really curiosity and puzzle. But too many of us walk around the halls here with our defining characteristic being cynicism and defeat. And we did not want to go quietly. We wanted to find our spirit again and apply the trade that we've assembled into things that have consequences. And as such, we said, please don't tase us, bro. Give us 1 year. If you want to ignore us, fine, but give us a chance for 1 year of experimentation. And we'll come back to you and we'll say if we should keep trying or not, if there's hope, if we're encouraged or discouraged. So slightly tongue-in-cheek here. It's too hard. I think we're going to give up. So. The spirit of the cavalry, though, seriously, was that we looked high and low. We met with as high-ranking people as you can in the government or in the intelligence community, trying to think naively that if we brought the right message to the right people in the right power, they'd fix it. And as depressing as it was to realize the cavalry isn't coming, they aren't going to fix it. It was also empowering because that means it falls to us. We can be the technically literate voice of reason and become ambassadors to educate them and to frame the issues for them so they'll make smarter choices. But here's the sarcasm tag. We couldn't get through the medical device manufacturers. We couldn't get through to the auto manufacturers. It's just an intractable problem. So instead, we're gonna make lots of money selling products. So we're gonna unveil right now, for the first time ever, on stage, we're going to have a solution to some of our friends' medical device problems. So first off, I met a woman named Marie, who is the director of CERT in Norway, and she is about our age, and she has a pacemaker, and she's concerned that it will kill her. And because the medical device manufacturers really don't take this issue seriously, because no one's died yet from hacking, even though there's no logging to prove if they have or haven't, we've decided to make a line of clothing. So can you please welcome to the stage our model? Those with a medical condition should not be required to sacrifice their nightlife. Not only will it keep you shielded from unwanted interference, you will shock and amaze your friends at the fashion. Now, this is our evening wear, but we also have, you should see the lingerie collection. All right, let's give a round of applause to Nicole. And I think we should probably auction that off later to charity. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it'd be a good idea. Right. Would anybody buy that? No. But wait, there's more. So we had some money left over from our R&D budget, and we spent the last year working with our friends who are diabetics, and Jay Radcliffe specifically. He put a lot of hard hours work into developing a new product that I'm happy to unveil today. And this is a 9-volt intrusion detection system for insulin pumps. And they should be available next year around this time.
As many of you saw yesterday, we revealed a 5-star auto safety program for the car industry. And because we want to hedge our bets and we hope they do the right thing, we're also going to unveil an antivirus product for your car. All right, back to serious.
So in all seriousness, what we wanted to do at this first portion of this presentation is to really solidify the messaging around what the Cavalry is all about and bring you through that that process. Last year when we got on stage and we did this, we didn't have a solid message. We didn't really know exactly where we would evolve into at this point. And so we wanted to just walk you through our sort of the thought process and walk you through the various aspects of how we're actually accomplishing and plan to accomplish what we're working towards. So at first, our problem statement.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a big fan of Dan Geer, and he often talks of security in terms of our dependence, right? If we're dependent upon it, and if it's worthy of that dependence. So really what's stuck in it with us and really works in the Beltway and with policymakers and the general public is the simple truth, the immutable truth, that our dependence on technology is growing faster than our ability to secure it.
And the second half of that is, you know, while we struggle to secure our organization's connected technologies, really, they now permeate every aspect of our lives. They're in our cars, they're in our bodies, they're in our homes, and even our public infrastructure. So, think about that. And if does anybody in the room disagree with that problem statement? No.
Okay. Good. All right. So we're not good at mission statements. We're good at security, but not so much mission statements. But this catches the gist of what we want to capture. We want to ensure that the technologies that potentially impact public safety and human life are worthy of trust. It doesn't mean we can go fix them, but we're going to do what we can with our power, with our talent, with our power of story and research, and by teaming with industry to make sure that we can achieve these goals. And we approach this with what we call the 4 C's, or collecting, connecting, collaborating, and catalyzing. When we say I am the Cavalry, it's not Josh, it's not Nick, it's all of you. It's our talent pool. It's a personal commitment that you say aloud, which essentially says, I'm going to be part of the solution. If I'm a researcher and I know how to break things, I'm going to be part of that life cycle. If I don't know how to break things, but I know how to securely architect and fix things, we need you as well. If you're a project manager, we are horrible at logistics, but we need to act like a campaign that needs to be managed through the multiple phases. And the Cavalry was really about acting on these 4 C's. The general idea was, we're not going to invent from whole cloth. We're going to collect existing research and researchers. There's a tremendous body of work going back many, many years on things like auto hacking, on things like medical devices. We do not need to invent from whole cloth. The challenge is, we do a lot of solo action. And when we combine the medical device researchers on our first call, some knew how to hack devices but couldn't find how to get them. Others knew how to get them but had no idea what to do with them. Some of them had relationships in the FDA or worked at different manufacturers like a Medtronic, a GE, a Philips, et cetera. So when we connected them together...
When you bring people together... When we connect the researchers with other folks during the entire chain. We spoke about last year about something called the fuzzing the chain of influence. I'm trying to bridge the gap between the security researcher and the executive at a manufacturer, and be able to connect those people together. So by connecting the researchers, connecting those to people in media, people in policy, to get the right message out, we've found that that's going to be very, very effective, and it has been effective so far.
The collaborating, we really have to have a tone of teamwork. There are multiple methods to get attention. And at this weekend and earlier Black Hat, you can name and shame, right? We can find bugs, throw them over the wall, use that as a catalyst. Sometimes that works. We chose, we wanted to be teammates, and we wanted to ready ourselves to be better listeners, more empathetic, and find the right stakeholders in these organizations, many of whom want to do the right thing. They just need help. They don't have the knowledge, or they don't have the air cover, or they don't have the stimulus to do so. So it's the collaboration where we started brainstorming to say, how do we get around these intractable problems? We're hackers. if we can jailbreak an iPhone, we can figure a way to get more safety standards through the FDA or through the auto industry. And then we're going to continue to fail fast and iterate until we've done so.
And then the last one is catalyzing. You know, through our efforts and through the public, you know, public awareness of what we're working on, and even awareness within the echo chamber and outside the echo chamber, if we're able to fuel additional research and more people to make a decision between, say, finding an Android vulnerability and finding a vulnerability in a medical device, that's going to be better for everybody else. And so just trying to catalyze that and fuel that research in a direction where it's focused on public safety and human life.
So if they're not coming, will you answer the call? I can't hear you.
Yes.
Will you answer the call?
Yes.
Are you up for the job?
Yes.
Because it falls to you. All right, so this has been the mantra. We'll go quick through this so we can talk about some of the new developments in the last 24 hours. So we believe that we have to be ambassadors, right? This isn't a technical challenge. This is a communication and education challenge. We have to be a voice of literacy. We will not get anywhere if Congress thinks the internet is a series of tubes. We will not get anywhere if we let the headlines dominate that there's killer attacker fridges sending spam and, oh my God, lolcats, we're all gonna die. I mean, that's not gonna be the most important prioritized issue. So if we don't fill the void, that void will be filled by others. They'll be filled by charlatans, by snake oil salesmen. So we need to be that voice, the independent voice. And we have to research things that matter. I mean, yes, a lot of us got into this because we like to tinker with things, anything. If you want to tinker with anything, why not make it something that can actually affect your family or your future? And most importantly, doing these things alone, we are easily defeated, right? But when you link up with a teammate, you can do more. And when you form a raid of five different talents, you can actually tackle a dungeon. And if you want to kill the dragons, it takes a guild. So we have the most talented, most innovative, most creative, most adaptive talent pool in the world right here. And we have the knowledge and the power to do something. So that's going to come by working together. And most of all, and this is probably both our biggest strength and our biggest failure this past year when we're introspective, is that this isn't about talking to ourselves. We need to work with each other, but this is about getting the hell out of the echo chamber. Screaming at each other, screaming in the darkness, and kvetching at the bar is not going to fix anything. So this is an outward-facing initiative.
And finally, we must team with each other. Thinking about as an independent researcher, you're often sitting there in the dark on your own, working on your project. But when you pick your head up and look around and find like-minded folks who want to help out and want to help out with even aspects of, they're not deep technical, but they have skills in other ways that can help your research, you find yourself much more powerful and be able to complete even greater tasks. So now we're going to switch gears a little bit to some of our year zero activities. Just want to call it some people.
All right, so most of this has been about people, and one of the bad pieces of disinformation we've had within our echo chamber because we haven't done a good job communicating is this is not a handful of people. This is not an exclusive club. We have a few hundred people on the mailing list actively participating. We have several dozen researchers and several dozen people who work in medical, auto, critical infrastructure. This is a very large and growing collaboration. And the difference has not been, again, it's not been our technical skills. It's been people who stood up and said, I'm going to be part of the solution. So we want to call out a few in no particular order. We'll just go back and forth. So Mike Murray quit his own company he started to go take a job in the medical device manufacturer world. And he is single-handedly driving and defining a very robust, secure software development lifecycle for one of the largest device manufacturers in the world. We're not just throwing a bug at them. He changed his career to go directly impact. And he's going to pull in all the talent pool from all of his friends here to do so. Katie Mazuris, one of the pillars of the research community from that stake days and whatnot, and who basically caused Microsoft to have the very first bug bounty program in history. She wrote the ISO standards on coordinated disclosure to help drive more collaboration between researchers instead of lawsuits. And she has recently quit her job and now is the chief policy officer for HackerOne to help create a normalized interface that any organization can use to do bug coordination, even if it's not their core DNA. I quit my job at Akamai, and I wanted to learn how to build public policy muscles and talk to Congress. So in January, I started as a CTO at Sonatype so I could actually drive more security rigor into the software supply chain. And the names are dozens. Morgan Mayhem, who's been very prominently profiled, is working with people like Claudio in the Citizen Lab to help dissidents. We actually have glorious fights because he'd like the cavalry to be more focused on the surveillance state problem or on civil liberties. And we share many same beliefs and whatnot, but we're going to focus on different fronts, and we amplify and congratulate his effort. And if that's in your heart to do, we're not asking you to join our movement. We're asking you to do something that impacts your life. And then we're sad we can't watch it, but we just met three physicians who are also hackers, who right now on a different stage are presenting how to undermine the risks in the 911 alert system, because they're concerned as physicians that this could compromise patient care in the ER and in their various respective positions, and that's Quadi and Replicant. So we're really happy to see that that call spoke to people and lit something in their hearts, and then people like Zach Linier and Mark Stanislav did to build it securely to really target the home IoT.
So we have a lot of other things that we accomplished this year. And I think, you know, personally, one of the most rewarding things that I was able to contribute to within the cavalry is I was invited outside the echo chamber to give talks to people. One specifically, there's an event that was called the National Association of Real Estate Investment Managers. I can tell you it's very different than DEF CON. I got in a room with them, and we were talking about security issues, risks to infrastructure, and literally it was about a 45-minute Q&A session, and they asked dozens and dozens of questions about the large buildings that they're investing millions or billions of dollars into that have Internet of Things technology in them. The HVAC systems, the elevator systems, the security systems, the fire suppression systems are all networked, and they're very concerned about the security of those devices. And I wasn't actually expecting that conversation to go that way. I was just asked to give like an update on, you know, latest threats, you know, targeting, you know, individuals and corporations, and it shifted very, very quickly to Internet of Things and in the infrastructure of large skyscrapers in major cities.
When we say conferences, we don't mean the echo chamber. Yes, we've been invited to speak to some. We've participated in ShmooCon, Blue Hat, AppSec USA, some of the larger, DerbyCon gave us room for our 100-person Constitutional Congress last September. In fact, many of you were there. 2 days of amazing collaboration, figuring out what we wanted to do and how we wanted to do it. But when we say this, an international cyber treaty and cyber security for nation states was done at The Hague. The closing keynote for Europe's National Cybersecurity Conference at The Hague was the cavalry. So for everyone who says this isn't going to work and no one's going to listen, we're being invited to places that we would never have been never dreamed of being invited to before. September, I believe, or October, no, actually November, the cavalry made its stage presence at TEDx. So my mother-in-law and my neighbors understand that we have risks in the things that we depend upon in technology. But the one that was most mind-boggling to me was government. I think most of us think that it's a corrupt, intractable, impossible place to get anything done, and that it's a bunch of crusty old guys who think the internet is a series of tubes. I am highly encouraged by that group of people. I've done personally, and there's other people in the audience who've been pushing the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act to reform. I personally did over 70 congressional meetings since January alone, bringing technical literacy and an independent voice for you to Congress. And they're listening. So I'm going to show that in a minute, but I have a proof point.
So let's talk a little bit about what worked well. Obviously, the mission statement that we pulled together, it resonated. And it's all about timing as well. I think, you know, many people have tried and had similar conversations, say, 5 years ago. But the timing, it's right now. This is the right time to go in and talk to people about what we're trying to do. It really, really resonates with folks.
The four C's was really the key. It's not that we didn't have talent. It's that we didn't link it together into a chain towards action and consequence, towards results. We do not want to have random activity. We want to see tangible results. I told the press yesterday, we don't want to fix one flaw in one device from one manufacturer. We want to hack the incentive structure so that we can make all devices from a particular industry more likely to be designed safely than otherwise.
And also, we also learned that it takes a guild. It's not all about researchers. It's not all about the media. It's about people working together. We have lots of folks who have participated in the constitutional congresses and the various meetups who would self-proclaim that they're not technical at all. But they have background, they're lawyers, they have background in public policy, they have backgrounds in PR, and they're able to help work together. Like Josh said, help slay the dragon. It's not just going to be the deep technical folks who are going to be able to do that on their own. We need everybody working together, and we learned that.
Yeah, and Brian Kiefer did an amazing presentation on why it takes a guild, using World of Warcraft as the carrying metaphor. But one more point, I don't know what kind of class you are when you do D&D or World of Warcraft or some sort of game, but we noticed we have a lot of assassins. And I found myself playing the role of tank this year, even though I'm not spec'd as one. But we have very, very few healers. So as we've done this journey, if you know any healers or would like to roll one, we definitely need some.
The other piece is finding people within our ranks to educate us.
And outside.
Yeah, outside. People to come in and educate us. Jen Ellis spent time doing things like media training at B-Side San Francisco. Speaking to media is very, very hard. Actually, having a conversation with somebody just about something is sometimes very difficult when you know that they do not have the same technical aptitude that you do. So be able to hone that message. But also, sometimes you can be asked questions when you're speaking to media and it comes off completely different when the article's written. And so being able to learn how to hone your message, understand your talking points was extremely important. And during those sessions, I think it really, really reined in with who was participating.
Yep. And we really had fresh blood. So one of the things that's problematic around the echo chamber is our rock star culture. We tend to put people up on pedestals and you have to be a rock star and you have to be extroverted and you have to be entertaining. There were unbelievably talented researchers that came to DerbyCon we had never heard of. They're very introverted, they're very shy, and in some ways are as talented or more than many of the people that we put up on a pedestal. So we need to start encouraging, incentivizing, rewarding different kinds of things. But as we started doing this and we started hearing from other people, we also learned to reduce our jargon, to stop using such internal language and internal speak. We got over the word cyber. 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 Cyber, right? If you want to talk to the Beltway, you have to use that word, right? And if that makes us a charlatan to some of you, we're just going to have to take that lump. We got to hold our nose and eat our lima beans, because if you want to communicate with the people we wish to influence, we have to meet them at their language and in their terms and at their level. We were not perfect.
No.
Okay.
We actually said last year when we came on stage that we really didn't know where this was going to go and what this would end up being. But one thing we did learn, if anybody who does any type of project management or project work for clients, you know that when the scope is extremely large or the scope expands, it becomes very difficult to deliver. And what we learned early on is that while we had sort of the three pillars or the three planks of the platform of mind, body, and soul, that was a little too broad. And we began to really hone in and focus on body, which is also known as public safety and human life. And when you think about that, that message really, really resonates with anybody. It doesn't necessarily mean people in this room, but if you talk to someone on the street and ask them if they're concerned with public safety and human life as it in regards to technology, they're likely going to say yes, and they're likely going to start listening to you.
Yeah, and we have not given up on our fears that there's going to be an increased criminalization research. Many of you see it as an existential threat to what you do. And there is a separate initiative or two that I know of that are specifically trying to work on CFAA to make it more accommodating to research. But in some of their initial experiments, they were basically told, when they said that it's our right, that our First Amendment protected speech to research. What do you think a congressperson says to that? They're like, you guys sound like a bunch of whiny brats. Like, what's in it for my constituents? One of the really nice surprises is when we led with the research happening with medical devices or automotive safety, which they did care about, either given their prior backgrounds or what their constituents cared about or what if their auto industries in certain states, then they're at the edge of their seats and they're asking, how can you help us? What can we do? Who can we work with? And then you end with, well, there's a bit of a chilling effect because there's threat of criminalization with really vague laws written in 1984. So it's really been the most resonant, and as such, even though it pained us to let go of making those, you need to have a North Star.
Also, you know, project management is not always very easy as well. You know, anybody who's participating or helping out with the cavalry also has day jobs, and they have families and personal lives. And, you know, this is a grassroots volunteer effort. And if someone can give 5 minutes a month, that's great. If someone can give 5 hours a month, that's great as well. But running projects and trying to accomplish things sometimes becomes very, very difficult, and sometimes like herding cats. I know we've had to have several email chains in order to try to get people on the phone, and there was always two or three people who couldn't make the call. And that just happens. And so, you know, moving through and trying to go take bite-sized chunks instead of looking at this large project and build accomplishments is something we learned would work better in the efforts we're trying to accomplish.
So just like we need more healers, if you have project management skills or know how to herd cats, please come help us. And we've also had a very poor balance. We've had some really harsh criticism from some of our best friends that we're too holier than thou, or that we're not fixing anything fast enough, or that this is doomed for failure. And it took 9 months before we finally said, you know, if you're saying you're not doing anything, if you exclude teaching, teachers do nothing. And since we're mostly focused on education and awareness outside the echo chamber, once we told them we'd had it over 70 congressional meetings, or that we'd spent full days with device manufacturers in industrial controls environments for free, or that we'd been invited into automotive manufacturers to discuss the unique nature of embedded security that's different than enterprise security, then they calmed down. But we've done a horrible, horrible job reporting back to our friends what we've been working on.
So some of the surprises, you know, talk briefly here. We mentioned this, but it goes beyond just the, you know, the PR aspect of it. It's also the soft skills. So, you know, professional media training is one of those, but communication empathy, you know, really eliminating jargon. It's very, very easy for any of us to have a conversation about a technical topic. And if you were to record our conversation and then play that back to someone who's not within our industry, they have no idea what we're talking about. And that's sometimes very difficult as someone trying to communicate to a policymaker or an executive at a device manufacturer, because they're not in this room, they're not in this community, and they really don't understand technology terms. And if you eliminate that jargon and you soften it, it's amazing how many light bulbs you can get to go off in people's heads, and you get able to connect with them much better.
Yeah, you know, I suffer from empathy deficit disorder. I think many of you may as well. And I had an argument with Katie Mazuris, who's been an unbelievably wonderful part of the cavalry since pretty much day one. And she said, Josh, what we lack is empathy. You know, we don't listen very well. We don't think about who we're talking to. We don't understand the dilemma and the challenges that an automaker may have. And as such, we don't connect with them, and our advice is not useful to them. And the thing that she said that really stuck with me is that if we want to change the world, the first thing we need to change is ourselves. And it's really shocking how the killer app for this entire one-year initiative has been empathy. Listening skills, communication skills, mirroring. It's almost like if you took the social engineering and took out the malfeasance, many of those skills have become critically necessary. And she was right. And she really put us morally on the right path, that we need to look and listen twice as much as we speak and understand the dilemmas of those people we're talking to. And, you know, people have been talking about this for a long time, and we haven't taken advantage of it. Jamie Arlen has been giving free workshops on presentation skills and soft skills. And I've been at certain cons where there's one person in his audience. So he was right, and this makes him jaded, right? Mercurial has been doing this, and he's been right. He was just early. So if you want to be more effective, the huge surprise and the huge delight is, even though we've asked you to put some of your heart and mind outside your day job, the soft skills we've developed have made us better husbands and wives, and have made us more effective with our bosses, because we're learning to talk on their level instead of just complaining when they don't listen. All right, we have one more fashion show today. Public policy. I thought this one was going to be interesting, and I bet the farm on this. That's why I changed jobs to one I could actually go work on with Congress. I'm shocked to see what we found. On my very first day of the very first try, I encountered a 27-year-old working on the Commerce Committee in the office of Senator Rockefeller. And he actually knew, he was in the midst of writing a kill chain analysis of the target breach on par with anything that any one of you have written. I'd like to say he's the anomaly, but in many of the offices in both the House and the Senate, we found people of our generation, or of millennials, who understood this tradecraft, were asking intelligent questions, and can tell fact from FUD. And we're asking, I'm highly encouraged. So for our second fashion show, I'd like to bring out on the stage counter evidence to the idea that all Congress critters are grumpy old white guys. This is Andrew Ruffin. Until a few weeks ago, he was on the Senate staff, and now he's going back to grad school. He's modeling a lovely attire. I have a token for you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Finding people like him gives me hope. They're not going to necessarily find an O-Day in a home alarm system, but they understand the consequences of it, and they've really helped us to understand that this public safety message is the one that's going to most resonate and most push through what looked like an intractable problem.
So the other piece here is other surprise was industry reception. And I can tell you, last year when Josh and I were walking out and getting ready to come on stage Sunday at 10 a.m. last year, we said, well, maybe we're going to get 30 people in the audience, maybe if we're lucky, 50. And it was a room like this, where there was hundreds of people who came out to hear what we had to say. And then after our talk, hundreds of people followed us into the Chill Out Lounge to continue the conversation for several hours. And the conversations continued for weeks ahead. And so that was very, very shocking to us.
And what shouldn't be surprising is these target industries that we wanted to hit. It did surprise us, but it shouldn't. Many of them are already here at DEF CON. They just didn't raise their hand or try to stick out. There are automakers here right now. I talked to two of them last night. There are people in medical device companies who have been dying to do the right thing, but their business doesn't listen to them. And they have mostly the right idea. In some cases, they already have the exact right idea, but they needed air cover and help. And as we started getting media coverage in The Guardian, in The Washington Post, in The Wall Street Journal, they can point at those to their management chain and say, I've been asking for this for 3 years. It's finally in the public consciousness. Can we finally get in front of this? And the answer they're getting is yes. There's a guy working at a device manufacturer in Germany who every single time we have a mainstream media hit, he gets a new project approved. And I didn't even know this until about a month ago. So this is finding willing teammates who will both get on a phone with us, help us tell us where the bodies are buried and what not to do. And we're actually able to help them get done what they already wanted.
And the other surprise was the mission. Talking about human life and public safety, we found instantly resonated with people who were in media and policy. Very different than taking the message to them, in, like Josh mentioned earlier, about trying to, we're all about doing security research and we want to change laws. When we talked about human life and public safety, people listened. And that was something that was a surprise as well.
Yeah, and a recent proof point of this is on Tuesday, we had an invite-only 50-person event over at the Four Seasons, and we had medical manufacturers present, a law professor from George Washington University, a law professor and special counsel to the FTC, who's working on public policy work, some of the best researchers like Billy Rios and Mark Stanislav, and we pulled together the right researchers for the right topics. We had the guy who designed and has been implementing the vehicle-to-vehicle protocol securely for 13 years. Not only is it resonating, they flew all the way out to Las Vegas for a meeting to build teams and trust basis of trust that they're going to then take into the next year and work together. This isn't a hypothesis anymore. We have tested the hypothesis, and it is time.
So people often asked us, even last year, I think even leading up to this, what is the cavalry going to become? And obviously, one thing we've been thinking about and one thing we're thinking about very, very hard is what type of legal entity should we become? Because there's advantages of becoming various types of legal entities. We can do more. We could extend our reach more. So some of the choices that we had were obviously for profit. That's not something we're interested in. But then there's the other 501 organizations, things like professional organizations, lobbying organizations, and then educational organizations. And what we've settled on is the 501c3 Educational Foundation.
Yeah, this really is the path forward. If we only try to change policy without getting hearts and minds, it's not going to work. And if we only professionalize our trade, even though we're anti-professionalization, that's also not going to work. The real bottleneck here is there aren't enough people who understand the implications of dependence on technology that can put them in harm's way. So we have to make some changes going forward. Right now, we're in active negotiations to be adopted by a large C3. If it does not come to terms, we're tired of waiting. It's been 1 year, and we'll file our own. But this will give us the ability to have tax-exempt status and take donations from anywhere to drive public service announcements, summits with medical, auto, industrial controls, and home automation systems. So some of these changes, and then we're going to end with our announcement from yesterday. Some of these changes are, we want to be much more self-service. When people ask us, what can I do to help? If we're not there to manage them, it's been a missed opportunity. So far, the best collaborations are when someone says, can I come lead this effort? Or when Mark Stanislav said, we're going to start buildit.secure.ly. So the go-getters has been easy, but we're going to make this much easier for someone to grab a kit and present at a local conference or get white papers or whatnot. We have to get better communication transparency. But really, it's not, we don't want someone to come to us and say, what can we do for the cavalry? Instead, we want to flip it. And we want to say, here's what the cavalry will do for you. So if our mission focus is on public safety and human life, any one of you that wants to do that is going to get an entire polished set of resources with connections to the right people in media, with knowledge of the landscape in Congress, with relationships at the FDA or FTC. Bo and I just met with the FDA last week, and we're going to go again. In fact, we're going to do a cyber boot camp for congressional staffers at the end of August. So anyone who wants to help in any single way, great. But if we can help you amplify your message and get your message to the right people or the right introductions, we'd like to do so. We need to be more service-oriented.
So this happened yesterday. You may have seen some news about it. This is the front page in the technology section of Reuters. And it has Hacking Group wants to play nice with automakers. And if you actually read that article, you would see that we announced yesterday and we released an open letter to the automotive industry on collaborating for safety. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We have, you know, a couple of minutes left. But one of the big things, if you go to the cavalry.org website, iamthecavalry.org website, you can see more details on this. And there's also a call to action for you, which we'll talk about in a minute. But we announced within that letter something that we're calling the 5-Star Automotive Cyber Safety Program. And there's 5 points, 5 stars to that program. It's safety by design, third-party collaboration, evidence capture, security updates, and segmentation and isolation.
Just click as I know, right? So these are critical capacities. Go back. These are not going to be a PCI list. Checklists don't work. This isn't going to be telling them what to do and how to do it. These are 5 foundational capabilities that we think every car manufacturer is going to need to have, and we will help them interpret, define, and attest to them. Number one, we recognize safety is important to our customers. As such, we have published an overview of our security software development lifecycle for how we design, develop, test our products and our supply chain. So tell us what you're doing to factor security issues into your design. Number two, you'll like this one. We know we're going to miss things, so we invite the participation of third-party researchers acting in goodwill with our published coordinated disclosure policy. How'd you like to avoid 12 years of adversarial relationships with the auto industry? Number three, failures will happen. So we need to actually study and understand and learn from our failures. Therefore, we're asking for tamper-evident, forensically sound evidence capture. Now, this is not plain speak for my neighbor, but think of terms of a black box. You cannot simultaneously claim there's no evidence of hacking when you lack the ability to capture any evidence of hacking. So this has to be in place going forward. Fourth, secure updates. Imagine Heartbleed in your car, unpatchable. Would it scare you to know several manufacturers use vulnerable versions of open source components in their remote connectivity? We have to be better, and we're going to start being better. So the ability to update your software. And lastly, segmentation and isolation. We believe that there should be, I don't know if I was listening to The Offspring too much, but you got to keep them separated, right? You need to have separation of critical systems that affect life, like your braking, your steering column, your airbag, from systems like infotainment, non-critical systems. A hack of your stereo through your Bluetooth should never disable your brakes. And unfortunately, through shared circuitry, like on a CAN bus, right now they're sharing the same circuitry, the same memory map. And we really want to see an attestation of what logical and physical isolation techniques are you using. And again, we're going to help them to do so. So if any of you have driven a car, ridden in a car, or intend to ride in a car, we'd like you to go to the following site and sign.
So if you visit this site, this is a bit.ly link, 5-star auto, so bit.ly/5-star auto. Put that in your phone now. Everybody in this room, take 5 minutes after this presentation, read the letter, read the petition, and sign it. We need everybody in this room's support.
And I know you're going to be concerned about privacy. I love privacy. You can fill out the change.org thing, even though I would ask you a few simple questions. I love privacy. I'd like to be alive to enjoy it. No, but in all seriousness, in the last few moments here, some people think this is a waste of time and it's not going to work. I'm willing to try and waste my time. And I hope you are too. Some people think nothing will get better until we have accidents, bad outcomes, dead babies. I hope they're wrong, but here's the deal. We can either wait for these catastrophic triggering events, because we always have a sane and rational response to catastrophic events, right? So rather than avoiding like the polarizing emotional ones, Andrea reminds us that the Cuyahoga River in Ohio had to catch on fire and stay on fire before very aggressive knee-jerk laws were put in place to do something twice. So before we have our cyber Cuyahoga moment, we believe that if we start the education and start the collaboration now, and we raise the threat IQ of policymakers, then that knee-jerk will be slightly less severe. So if you think we're early, we've chosen that now is the time to start. And the last note I'll say is attitude is everything. I'm going to remind you what we said at the beginning. At my first DEF CON, the defining characteristic of this demographic, our zeitgeist, was curiosity. We passionately loved to figure out how things work. When I walked around last year, the defining characteristic was cynicism and defeat. Cynicism is a choice, and for many reasons, we've come to that point. But we can choose to do something that gives us fulfillment and purpose, and we can choose that the timing is right, and we can choose to hit reset. It's not going to be for everybody. If you want to watch us fail, that's fine. But you have a choice about your attitude, and I'd encourage you that the timing is now. People are ready. The consequences are severe. So please choose wisely.
So how can you get involved? One of the big things is if you have the opportunity, you can get a job in the target industry. Medical device manufacturer are looking for security people. Automotive industry is looking for security people. You can get jobs there. Internet of Things companies are looking for security people. There's plenty of startup companies that are popping up left and right and that need security people to work for them. You could also research some of the target technologies. If you have that choice between a mobile device or a medical device, choose the medical device. You can speak at target industry events, and that's not DEF CON, that's not Black Hat, that's not B-Sides. That's medical device manufacturing events. That's, you know, Internet of Things types of events. That's automotive conferences. You can speak at those conferences. They're looking for people to speak on security. And then you can help educate policymakers and media. When you have an opportunity to speak to one of those, to speak to those individuals, you can explain the risks and explain it in clear and easy to understand language so that the message is clear and is broadcasted to the public in the right way. And of course, you can join the mailing list. If you want to become an active participant, join the mailing list or visit the website. And Bo Woods has done an amazing job, you know, over the last several months building a website that has clear messaging on it and has information. And it's just going to grow as we have bodies of evidence to publish and place on that site.
So the cavalry isn't coming. So it falls to us. It falls to you. Can I hear an I am the cavalry? Can I hear an I am the cavalry? Well,
I am the cavalry.
No, thank you for caring, and thank you for giving us that year of experimentation. So I think, should we do another year?
Should we?
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.